End of 1 Thessalonians. 2 weeks left, I think. Lord willing. We're in chapter 5. Let's pray as we come to our passage. Lord, I thank you that you've given us your word to guide us and to lead us, to speak truth to our hearts and minds, and I pray that you would do just that today. We pray that you'd be honored in this time that we have. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'd like to start by giving us an analogy of our spiritual life and compare it to our physical life. And I want you to think about a little baby, maybe newborn baby, 7 or 8 pounds. Let's say a newborn baby boy. And then that baby grows and one day reaches, say, 6 feet tall, 180 pounds, 20 years old. What has to happen in between those 20 years for that child, that baby, to get to be 6 feet tall? Well, I've had sons who've gone through my house as teenagers. I know it's a lot of food. Okay, I know that's part of the deal. But a lot of it is just your genetic makeup. It's just in your DNA. You're going to be a certain height, and maybe, depending on what you eat, maybe you'll be a few inches shorter, a few inches taller than that. But that's pretty much locked in. That's who you are. And you know, I was thinking about that as I was growing up. I have an older brother who's 17 years older than me, and he's 6'3". So growing up, I looked at him. I was like, well, that's probably what I'm going to be. God set a different DNA code in me than him, though, right? I was 5'10 as a freshman in high school, and I thought, oh, I'm definitely going to be over 6 foot. I'm still 5'10. So 30, 40 years later, whatever it is. So, but I started to think about that in terms of our spiritual growth. And I want you to think about your spiritual walk as when you become a Christian, you're a newborn. You're a newborn baby Christian. And that does, I don't mean that as an insulting thing. It's just that when you first come to faith in Jesus and the Holy Spirit takes up residence and makes you new, everything seems new to you, but that's not the end of it. I know people get excited when you come to faith. When someone comes to faith, there's joy. It says there's joy in heaven when that happens. And we get excited when that happens. But that's just the start. You don't take a baby and just say, okay, see you later. That baby's going to grow, right? And as young Christians, we want to look at our lives that way. We want to continue to grow until we're spiritually mature. Becoming a Christian is just the first stage. And throughout the course of our life, we want to continue to grow up in that. And the thing is, God is growing us. And I want you to see that in our passage today. So in 1 Thessalonians 5, we're in verse 23. And Paul writes this: May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. So I just want to look at the second verse first. In that second verse, the one who calls you, that means the one who calls you to himself and calls you to be a believer and calls you to faith, the one who calls you to do that is also going to grow you and is going to build you up in your faith and is going to make you stronger. And Paul is praying for this. He's asking God to do this. And he says that he prays that the God of peace would do this. And where that title of God comes in here is that God has reconciled us to himself. So we've been adopted into his family. We now have peace with God, and now God is going to grow us in our faith. And he prays here for the whole person. May your whole spirit, soul, and body. That has the idea of everything in you, your mind, your heart, your spirit, your body, everything needs to become more like Jesus, become more Christ-like. So I want to ask you this question this morning. Since you became a Christian, has anything changed in you? And I will say, it should have. Things should have changed. If somebody says, oh, I became a Christian, and they say, the only really thing I do differently than I did before was, well, I go to church now. I go to church on Sundays. It should be more than that. It should be every area of our life. It should affect what we say, the decisions we make, where, what we do at work, what kind of food we eat. Everything has to do with the fact that we are a new creation. We're Christians. And so what does it look like to be mature in the faith? What does it look like to be completely mature? And the answer is found in it's always the Sunday school answer, Jesus, right? Jesus is the perfect epitome of maturity. That's what we're shooting for. So I'm just going to ask you a question. I'm going to throw out a question to you and ask you to answer. And the question is, what are some attributes of Jesus that we should have and that he is growing us toward? How would you characterize Jesus? And just as an example, the obvious one is love. Jesus said, greater love hath no man than this, that he would lay down his life for his friends. And he says, love one another as I have loved you. So we're supposed to take on that attribute. We're supposed to become more and more like Jesus. Can you think of any other attributes of Jesus that we should be seeking to emulate? Obedience. He said, I always do what pleases the Father. Always. He said that. So we should be seeking to follow him. And you know what's interesting is that in the time that this was written, there was a philosophy out there called dualism. And it went like this. Your spirit is holy, your body is evil, so you let your body do whatever your body wants, but your spirit prays to God. And that sounds like a great cop-out, doesn't it? Oh, my body can do it. I can do whatever I want with my body or to my body. But, you know, my spirit remains pure. And what it says here is our whole body, our whole person is changed. You know, it should affect, we should eat healthy food if we are Christians. We should do that. I've joked about the fact that I quit Mountain Dew 3 years ago. But part of that is, I think, my Christian walk. I mean, look at it. It's glowing green. You shouldn't drink that. But if you look at the ingredients, it's not good. It's not good for you. All right, so I took Linda's answer and I went off on a side there. But what other attributes of Jesus? Feel free to just shout them out. Forgiveness. We should be forgiving as Jesus is forgiving. What? All right. Patience. I'm hearing the fruit of the Spirit sprinkled in here, right? The Spirit comes in and makes us more like Jesus. What else? Humble. I am awesome at being humble. No, I'm just kidding. We're working toward that. We're working toward being more humble. But the thing is, you can never say that. I've reached it. I'm humble. You can never reach that point. Other people can say it about you. What else? Forgiving? Giving. Generosity. Yep. Feel free. Telling the truth. Grace. Honesty. How about being bold enough to tell the truth? How about being tough? You know, there's pictures, and sometimes you see paintings of Jesus, and you see, you know, he kind of looks a little bit wimpy. First of all, he's a carpenter who lived in the Middle East in the blazing sun, and he walked everywhere. So physically, I don't think he was weak. But look at what he went through. Physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually tough. That's what we're shooting for. Anyone else? Right. Amen. Amen. Linda. He knew the Word. He was the Word. He is the Word. Right? The living embodiment of it. He knew Scripture. When he was tempted to sin, he quoted Scripture back at the devil. Right? And then he said, "Be gone, Satan." Right? So he knew the Word. Inside and out. How about he was not worldly? Right? He was not of this world. He didn't care about things in this world. So all these things that we've been talking about here, and if you study Scripture, there's even more. That is what we're shooting for. God is making us more and more like Jesus every day. And I want you to be encouraged in that. Here's how you should be encouraged in that. Some people say to themselves, this is just who I am. I keep making the same mistakes over and over again. That's just me. As a Christian, you don't have to say that. As a Christian, you can say, God can strengthen me. God can change me. God can make me new. You're not destined to make the same mistakes over and over again. You're not destined to make the mistakes that your parents made. You're not destined to do those things. God changes you. So we have God inside of us changing us. And the Lord is causing us to mature. Now, that doesn't mean we don't do anything, because we do participate. Because last week I talked about that. Remember the passage from 1 Thessalonians 5 where it said, "Do not quench the Spirit"? How do we draw closer to the Lord? How do we fan the flame? Do you remember any of those from last week? Right? You're there. Pray continually. Right? Give thanks in all circumstances. Linda, are you cheating? Okay. At least you admitted it. All right. All right. It says reject evil, do what is good, things like that. But we pray to God, we give thanks to God, and then we follow His leading in our life. That's how we fan the flame. That's how we become more mature. So I mentioned that, you know, as physical persons, our height is kind of predetermined in a general sense, but it can fluctuate a few inches. We've noticed if you go to third world countries, the people there a lot of times are smaller, and some of that just might be genetics, but some of it is due to nutrition. They just don't have the nutrition in those growing years to get their bodies to grow. And I will tell you that when I went to Haiti, I had a nickname over there. The Haitian guys called me Big Man. Pretty funny, huh? Mitch, it's not that funny. You laughed. You laughed. But it's just, so maybe you can affect your height a little bit more, but maybe we can do that spiritually. God has this plan for us, but we can fan that flame and we can draw closer to Him. And maybe we can speed up the process by being in constant prayer. But ultimately, in the end, it's the Lord who does this. And we should pray for these things. We should pray for each other. Because look at what Paul says. Verse 23 says, "May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you." Sanctify you means to make you holy, to make you more like Jesus, to separate you from the world and make you like Jesus. So Paul's praying for them. And then in verse 26, he says, "Brothers and sisters, pray for us." So Paul and his group of missionaries are asking for prayers. So this is how we grow as well. We pray for each other. And he continues on and says, this is the next verse, "Greet all God's people with a holy kiss. I charge you before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers and sisters." So there's this idea of community. And some of you might be asking, what is the deal with the holy kiss? All right, so here's the thing. In Middle Eastern culture, and in some cultures today in Europe and other parts of the world, people, men, women, doesn't matter, will greet each other with a kiss. Maybe a kiss on each cheek. What I would say in that regard is in American culture in New England, I'm going to suggest we not start that with everybody because I think people here would get a little weird with it. I just think we would be uncomfortable with that. But in different cultures, it's different. I learned when we first came here that this was a hugging church. My first trip to this church, Christy and I came with baby Bella 14 years ago, and we came up the front steps, and there was this woman waiting for us at the door. Her name was Jean Aho. She's gone on to be with the Lord, and she was meeting us at the door. She was always the first one here every week, all the time. Met us with the bulletin. I said, "I'm the guest pastor who's going to be preaching today." Huge hug, headlock from Jean. And I came in, and I noticed that happened with other people, too. I said, "Oh, that's what we're about here, okay? We're a huggy church." Some churches are handshaking churches, but the idea is community. And an affinity toward one another, and a love for one another. And Paul is telling them, read this letter. Please read this letter that talks about the fact that God is going to grow you up, and He's going to mature you, and that you should follow Him, and you should pray to Him. And really, that's something we do together. You know, Amanda mentioned it this morning, and, you know, I hadn't heard her say those things in those words. She's downstairs now, so I can talk about it, right? But I didn't realize how much she needed a church family when she first started coming here. I hadn't heard that part of the story. But we grow together. God grows us together. And to say, well, I can go home and study the Bible and pray to God and be a Christian, yeah, you can. But it's not what God has planned for us. God wants us to be together. He wants to grow us up and make us all more like Jesus. And we help each other do that. We pick each other up, we challenge each other, we correct each other sometimes, we encourage each other. That's what God calls us to do, and God is doing all of it, and in the end, He gets all the glory for it. The one who calls you is faithful, and He will do it. So let's continue to grow up together. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you are faithful to everything you've ever promised in your word, and you will continue to grow us and make us more like Jesus. I pray that you would do that. I pray that we would continue to become a stronger, more loving family here. I pray this in your mighty name. Amen.